Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. Mark Levonier, your host for an hour of mystery. Later on, it's The Adventures of Ellery Queen from 1945. But first, an episode of Candy Matson called Fort Ord from October 8, 1950 on NBC.
Hello, Yukon 28209. Yes, this is Candy Matson.
Did you ever know a girl private detective? Perhaps not. They're pretty rare. Well, we've got one. Candy Matson is the name. And she's both pretty and rare. Figure? She picks up where Miss America leaves off. Clothes? She makes a peasant dress look like opening night at the opera. Hair? Blonde, of course. And eyes? Just the right shade of blue to match the hair. You're expecting more? All right, let's meet her. She's on the phone now, in her penthouse on Telegraph Hill in San Francisco.
Hello, Candy Matson.
Well, bless my ever-loving little old serial number, Candy Matson.
Watch out how you go tossing your serial number around, Pally. Who is this?
Candy, hope you remember me. This is Sergeant Kenley down at Fort Ord.
Kenley, the gallant.
Uh-huh.
The G.I. who filled my slipper with beer and drank it.
That's me, the poor man's Diamond Jim Brady.
Sure, I remember you. I met you when I was down at Fort Ord with the USO. What's on your mind, Kenley? Wait a minute, I'll put it this way. What's new?
Now, like this is new. We're having a big shindig at the Senior Non-Commissioned Officers Club tomorrow night. You were elected as the girl most likely.
Finish the sentence.
Okay, as the girl most likely to be the queen of a ball.
Oh, Kenley, you mad lad. I'd adore it. But what would I do for a chaperone?
A what?
Don't play dull. You heard me.
Oh, sure. Well, why don't you bring your mother?
Wonderful idea. And I know just the fellow. Roger, Kenley. I'll report to the orderly room sometime tomorrow afternoon at Fort Ord. That's the way things happen with me, so casually. I'm at home on Telegraph Hill overlooking San Francisco Bay, polishing a few old sapphires, when the phone rings. Sounds innocent, doesn't it? But uh-uh. I ran into two rather grisly murders in Monterey. Want some details? Listen. When I told the sergeant I knew just the fellow to be my mother, I met my old pal Rembrandt Watson. In former days, Rembrandt, an A1 photographer now that he doesn't imbibe, used to see double by noon, triple by four, and complete darkness by eight. One night, the darkness became too dense and he suddenly saw the light. That's when he threw all his bottles out the window. Of course, he was arrested for disturbing the peace, but he hasn't touched a drop since. And when I mentioned Rembrandt as my chaperone, I wasn't fooling. He's been like a mother to me many, many times. He was just back from his vacation, so I got in my car and drove over Powell and down California Street. At Grant Avenue stands Old St. Mary's, and on the bell tower just underneath the clock, there's a sign that says, "Son, observe the time and fly from evil." I'd seen it before, but somehow that afternoon it had an added meaning. I parked my car and went across the street to Rembrandt's apartment.
Candy.
Rembrandt, you old dear, how are you?
Wonderful, just wonderful. Darling, you're looking simply grand.
Slice it thinner, Rembrandt. You've only been gone 3 weeks.
Oh, sorry, dear. So come in, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having some tea. Won't you join me, Candy?
I'd love it.
It's all ready.
Boobly bleep, 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 bop.
Wait a minute. What was that again?
In case you don't know, Dove, that's bop.
Where did you ever pick up bop?
I was visiting a friend of mine last night, a professor of psychology, over at that institution across the bay.
California?
No, San Quentin. He's a phrenologist. He played some bop records for me.
Well, what do you think of bop, Rembrandt?
They say it's the latest thing. Why, girl, I can remember when they were playing bop back in 1926.
You can?
Well, certainly. Only in those days they called it vo-do-do-dee-o, vo-do-do-dee-o-do. Here's your tea, Dove. It's warm.
Thanks.
What brings you by this afternoon, Candy, dear?
You. I've got an invite to a ball for both of us.
How delightful. I'll get my Grand Marshal's uniform out of my trunk.
It's not that kind of a ball, Ducky. It's just a dance for soldiers at Fort Ord.
Fort Ord? That's down in Monterey.
That's right. And I want you to go along as my chaperone.
Candy, I'd really love it.
Good. I'll pick you up at noon tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have an appointment at 2. You run along, and I'll get the Del Monte special.
Okay, and I'll pick you up at the station in Monterey.
Splendid, splendid. Oh, by the way, dear, I'm just a little...
Oh, sure. Here, take 20.
Oh, no, no, not that much, Candy.
No, yourself, I insist.
Oh, I'm so glad you're firm about these things. Thanks ever so much.
Not at all. Thanks for the tea, Rembrandt. I'll see you in Monterey. I gave Rembrandt a little chuck under the chin. He quivered his bushy eyebrows, and I left. If I was going to be queen of a military ball, I had to get some royal raiment. I picked up a mantilla and a strapless evening gown you had to hold up by sheer concentration and deep breathing. Then I had a quiet dinner for one, please, James, and went home and climbed aboard the Dream Express quite early. When I woke up, I had the nasty feeling that I had something to do. Then I remembered. I had a date that evening with Mallard. That's Inspector Ray Mallard of San Francisco Homicide. The nomenclature reads 6'2", weight 190, nice features. Smart guy when it comes to solving a crime, but when it comes to talking about us and the future, he freezes up completely. I got dressed and whipped down to the Hall of Justice on Kearney Street.
Well, Candy, how's Telegraph Hill's greatest lady detective?
At the moment, Mellor, dear, I'm just between detectives.
Kind of slow, huh?
No, not slow. I just wrapped up a case. Now I want to take it easy for a few days.
I've got news for you, Candy.
Such as like what?
Such as like I can't keep our date for tonight.
Oh, Mallard, I'd been counting on it.
I know, Candy. I'm sure sorry. But how did I know this guy was going to do what he did out in the Taravelle District?
Playing straight, I say. What did the guy do out in the Taravelle District?
He parlayed a sudden impulse into a seat in the gas chamber.
How so?
He done in his old lady.
Mallard, don't talk like that.
Okay. He ostracized his wife from the world of the living. With a pipe.
That's better.
Over the head.
I get the picture. Anyway, I've got news for you, too.
And yours would be?
I'd have to break our date tonight anyway.
Uh-huh. I just knew I was going to get stood up. And tonight's the night that Tex Acuff is playing in Loves of Laredo. Candy, it's Acuff's best movie.
Acuff will just have to keep his chin up. You're busy in the Taravelle, and I've got to be at a dance at the NCO Club at Fort Ord.
Oh, that's right. I am busy tonight. So you're going to Fort Ord, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you there a couple of times during the war?
That's right. With the USO.
That same sergeant still there?
The same sergeant. He's the one who asked me tonight.
Now, this calls for drastic action. Come here, Candy.
Mallard. It was one of those rare moments. Mallard kissed me. Part of me floated out of his office. Then part of me floated back in and picked up the rest of me. Then all of me floated out again. Then I realized I'd forgotten my hat. I went back and got it. Then I saw I didn't have my purse. I went back and got that.
Keep this up and you won't even get past Market Street, let alone to Fort Ord.
That Mallard, he can do the sweetest thing sometimes. That was one of them. I got in the car, shifted into low, and that's the last I remember until I came to in front of the Rancho in Carmel. Obviously, one kiss from Mallard was better than a tank full of 100-proof octane. I registered, got a cabana out and back, showered, changed, and drove back into town. The drive down must have been dusty because I was extremely dry. So I stopped at Griff's, a cute little place with old theatrical pictures all over the walls.
Yes, miss? Would you care for something?
Oh, yes, a martini, please. Very dry.
Very dry. Righto.
You're new here, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I started working here about 3 weeks ago.
I thought so. I was down about a month ago, but I don't remember seeing you.
No, the fellow who was here became ill. Mr. Griffin hired me.
Nice place to work.
Oh, yes. It's very enjoyable. Here you are, miss.
Thank you. I know you don't know who I am, but I'm a very good friend of Mr. Griffin's, and I came away without any money. Could you cash a check for me?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to, but... Do you have any identification with you?
Oh, yes, of course. Here, my driver's license.
Matson. Candy Matson.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know why I thought I recognized you. Aren't you presiding over the dance tonight at Fort Ord?
Well, yes. Why?
I saw your picture in the paper yesterday.
Yesterday? What? I only knew about it myself yesterday. Oh, that Kenley, what an operator.
I'll be happy to cash your check, Miss Matson.
Good. I'm going to need it. A queen has to scatter a little gold amongst her subjects. The lad cashed my check and I left for the fort. I drove out past Seaside, then on past Ord Village and onto the reservation itself. The guard motioned me through the south gate with a wave of his hand and a... Yep, still the same old Fort Ord. I wove my way through the streets and finally pulled up in front of the senior NCO club. As I got out, there was my pal Kenley coming down the steps in his fatigue jet.
Oh, Candy, you beautiful thing, you.
Don't you beautiful thing me, Sergeant Kenley.
What's the matter?
You know what's the matter. They printed a picture of me in the Monterey Herald yesterday.
Well, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong? When the paper came out yesterday, I hadn't even heard about your wing ding tonight.
Oh, don't be mad, Candy. I've never seen you say no to a worthwhile cause yet.
This is a worthwhile cause?
That's right. Every cent we take in, we're turning over to the community chest.
Oh, well, that puts a different light on it.
Oh, I knew you'd see it that way.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You don't charge for these NCO dances. How are you getting any proceeds out of it?
Oh, I didn't tell you, did I? Every half hour, we're having a raffle. The highest bidder gets a free dance with you.
Oh, that Kenley. Well, it was getting dark, and the Del Monte special with Rembrandt aboard would soon be pulling in. So I went back to Monterey. All of a sudden, I decided to play games. About a mile from town, the train stops at Del Monte itself. I thought it might be cute if I went back, got on the train there, and met Rembrandt that way. There she was, coming right in on schedule. I parked the car and went over to the little country-like station. The train wasn't in sight yet. It has to make the bend around Seaside. There it was. Now the headlight was sending its beam down the shining rails. It stood out like a beacon in the Monterey twilight. Then I saw it. The glare of the locomotive's light picked up the crumpled body of a man. It was stretched across the tracks in a grotesque manner. Suddenly, my mind flashes signaled my feet, and I moved. It was a man, all right. The train was getting closer. I grabbed him by his lead-like shoulders and tugged. He wouldn't budge. I tried again, but still no luck. I looked down in desperation. That's when I saw that one of his feet was jammed between the rail and the tie. I gave a yank, and the foot came free. Then I grabbed him by the shoulders again. He must have weighed over 200, but little by little, I was getting his body over the rails and off under the shoulder. Finally, I made it, just as the Del Monte rolled by. The body had fallen over on top of me as I pulled him away from the rails. I shoved him to one side, and he flopped over. As he did so, I realized my companion was very cold, very limp, and very dead. A card fell out of his pocket, and I did the natural thing and picked it up. By that time, the train was pulling out. I tried to catch it, but it was too late. It was only a mile into Monterey, so I left my cold friend and drove in after the train. I got snarled in a traffic jam just before I made the right turn into the station, so Rembrandt was waiting for me as I drove up.
Dove, how nice of you, right on time.
Never mind the salutations. Come on, we've got work to do.
Don't tell me I'm supposed to take your place at the ball tonight.
No, I've discovered a body.
Candy, dear, how occupational.
How irritational. Come on, let's go.
Where?
Monterey Sheriff's Office.
But you'll miss the ball, girl.
Not tonight, I won't. I darn near got killed myself. Tonight I'm going to have fun. Let's go. I went over to the sheriff's office. They have a staff of 9 men. I placed everything in their capable hands and drove Rembrandt over one of the local hotels. I went back to the rancho, climbed into my strapless queen outfit, and went back to pick him up. He came out with a bewildered look on his face. I didn't say anything. We drove along through the Ord Reservation, and finally I popped the question. Okay, Rembrandt, what's wrong?
Nothing except this.
What's this?
A card. While I was dressing, a man knocked on the door, shoved this into me hand, and told me to tell you about it and left.
Let me see it.
Here. Oh, careful, Dub. Don't go off the road. The military wouldn't like that. They dislike messy force.
Wait a minute. Look through my purse, Rembrandt.
Precisely for what?
For a card that matches this one.
Lipstick, lighter, handkerchief. Oh, here we are. You're right, Candy. It matches exactly. Does it make sense?
Not yet. This is a warning, Rembrandt. A warning to keep my nose out of somebody's business.
Yes, but what's this on the card? I don't understand.
I thought you were studying the cello, Rembrandt, dear.
Oh, I am.
Then you should know what that is. That's the musical signature for F sharp. The gent who gave Rembrandt the card had obviously been following us since we left the sheriff's office. Now I knew I was in on something. But what? That body didn't crawl on the tracks all by itself. It was placed there deliberately in hopes the train would mangle all evidence. I'd have to worry about that later. I had a date to keep, and I was going to keep it. Once again, I pulled up in front of the Senior Non-Commissioned Officers Club. Rembrandt helped me out, and we went in. The joint was really jumping. As we went in, dear old Sergeant Kenley was there to greet us.
Oh, Candy, I'm glad you're here. I was getting worried.
Ha, ha, ha. He's worried.
Yes. Ha,
ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. I don't get it.
That's all right, Sergeant. Kenley, I want you to know Rembrandt Watson, my chaperone this evening.
Glad to know you, sir.
You didn't talk down to me, Sergeant. I have campaign ribbons for just such battles as this.
Okay, Kenley. When do we start the raffle?
Right now. Come on, Candy.
If ever a girl gave her all for the Army, that was I. I danced until my insteps had insteps. Going on toward midnight, they started another raffle. A dark-looking sergeant bid $6, and I was to dance with him. Rembrandt was fighting the Boxer Rebellion all over again with some top kick, so I was stuck, but good.
Miss Matson, that was my last $6.
You shouldn't have done it, Sergeant.
Oh, it was worth it. But if you don't mind, I'd rather not dance.
Sergeant, for those kind words, I make you a lieutenant.
No, thanks. I'd rather be a sergeant. but would you mind walking outside on the terrace? It's awfully stuffy in here.
Sergeant, it would be a pleasure, believe me. We went outside. The night was strictly Monterey-ish. Sparkling with stars, not warm, not cold, and a slight smell of sardines in the air. That's good. That meant the canneries were working. But speaking of the smell of fish...
Let's go this way, shall we?
Why?
There's a beautiful view of the entire bay from over here.
Look, Sergeant, I only came down here to dance.
I said, come with me.
What? You're hurting my arm.
On.
Now, wait just a minute, Sergeant.
No, you wait, Candy Matson. I know who you are. You had to come down here where you weren't wanted.
You don't seem to understand
that
I was...
You had to go find a body on the tracks. And you ended up with two cards that were identical, didn't you? Give me those two cards.
I haven't got them.
Don't give me that. Where are they?
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't got any cards.
Okay, sister, you ask for it.
The sky was whirling. Time was nothing. I was in China. I was in Cuba. I was nowhere. Suddenly, things came into focus. I was out in back of the club, and Rembrandt and half a dozen GIs were standing over me.
Well, there, ducky. You're going to be all right. What happened?
I got slugged, that's what happened. And the rat only bid $6 for the privilege.
How do you feel, Dal?
Terrible.
Oh, Kenley, I feel terrible, too. I don't know how this could have happened.
Hi, Kenley. Oh, my head.
Oh, gee, I just can't apologize enough.
That's all right. I came down here to be queen of the ball. I got crowned, didn't I? I thanked Sergeant Kenley for the party. It was a nice affair. After all, it was no fault of the NCO club or Fort Ord that I got wrapped over the head. So I got Rembrandt in the car, and we drove back into Carmel. Rembrandt was quite concerned. He suggested that we stop and I have a touch of brandy. I didn't argue. We went in the grip.
Good evening. You wish something?
Yes, please. Brandy for the lady. Lemon Coke for me.
Brandy and... What was that again?
Glass of water.
A glass of water, yes.
Hold it. You weren't here this afternoon.
No, I worked the evening shift. Frankie's here during the afternoon.
Frankie?
That's right. Frankie Sharp.
That's when Roman candles went off and bells started to ring. Thinking back to the afternoon, the guy who cashed my check had one slight characteristic. I remembered as he handed me the money, his cufflinks were stamped musically, F sharp. I must have had a funny look on my face because Rembrandt spoke.
What's the matter, dear? Doesn't the brandy agree with you?
No, no, it's not that. I'm trying to put one and one together to make two, but it doesn't add.
Uh-oh. Looks like we're going to have company.
Well, pardon me, Miss Matson. I hope I'm not intruding.
Not at all, Corporal. Everybody's getting into the act tonight. Sit down and make yourself comfortable.
Oh, thank you. I just heard the regrettable news. You're getting slugged at the club. I left just before, I guess. How did it happen?
He was a sergeant. He outranked me.
Oh, incidentally, my name is Case. Dave Case, 4th MP Company at the fort.
Glad to know you, Case. This is Mr. Rembrandt Watson.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, sir? Where's your accoutrement?
What?
Your billy club and pistol, your armband and so on.
I don't wear them when I'm not on duty, Mr. Watson.
You're in good hands, Candy. I've got to leave. Can't stand the place where they only serve you water.
That's what you asked for, Rembrandt.
I know. Yield not to temptation, I always say. Glad to have met you, Corporal Case. Yeah. Good night, Candy, dear. See you in the morning. You two just stay and talk over the Battle of the Bulge, that knob on Candy's head.
Good night, Rembrandt.
Does he always duck out on you like that, Miss Matson?
He's a man of whims. That's why I like him. This brandy isn't doing anything for me. What I need is some air. Corporal, do me a favor and walk me down to the beach and back, will you?
Why, I'd be delighted.
We left Griff's and walked down Ocean Avenue to the beach. There was a half moon shining down from the east and hitting the waves. It made the ocean look almost luminous.
Feel a little better, Miss Matson?
Yes. I wonder what that character hit me with. Come on, Corporal. Let's go along the beach a little way.
Aren't you cold?
No, this is fine. Wait. Wait a minute, Case.
What?
Down there. Right at the water's edge. Looks like the body of a man.
Why, you're right.
Let's go. We ducked around a clump of brush and hightailed it down to the water. Sure enough, it was a sprawled figure of a man. Every time a wave came in, the body would change position, setting new patterns of crumpled legs and oddly shaped arms. Give me a hand, Case. Yep. Help me roll him over.
Okay.
Hey, look at this.
What, Miss Matson?
You know who this joker is. This is the lad who flattened my skull at the dance tonight.
Oh, I'll bet he's awfully sorry he did it now. He's quite dead.
The corporal and I pulled and tugged and finally got the boy high and dry up on the beach. Then we ran up to my cabin. Operator. They must have closed the switchboard for tonight.
Well, you wait here, Miss Matson. I'll run up into town. There's usually a prowl car there at this hour.
Okay, but hurry, Corporal. Case slammed out the door and I was left alone. I walked over to the cabinet, got a cigarette and lit it. Thoughts were going through my head like a roulette wheel, but none of the thoughts were dropping in the right slot. Then suddenly... Did you ever get the feeling you weren't alone? That a pair of eyes was watching your every move? I wheeled around. There he was, standing over by the closet door.
Good evening.
My bartender friend of the afternoon.
Enjoying your cigarette, Miss Matson?
Yes. Yes, I am, Mr. Sharp.
Fine. Drag on it. Drag deeply. The last drag always tastes the best.
What's on your mind?
You. You've been on my mind ever since you pulled that body off the tracks this evening.
Was that one of your jobs?
Oh, yes. Hadn't you surmised by my musical signature?
Wasn't that being rather dramatic?
I don't think so. All great artists sign their work. Why shouldn't I? I came here to paint. But they only laughed at me, jeered. So I decided to paint in a different manner. It was beginning to pay dividends, too. But you and the others, you had to spoil it. I could have been big. Do you understand? I could have owned this whole country.
Oh, no, Frankie. You leave too many of your cards around.
Recognition. There has to be recognition for everything done in this world. Look. Here. I've got another F-sharp card, Miss Matson.
So I see.
I made it especially for you. About an hour ago.
Is that when you held your pal's head under the surf down there on the beach?
Shortly after, yes. And now I shall have to work fast, won't I? Your corporal friend with the muscles will be returning with the police. Over there against the wall, Miss Matson.
You can't get away with this, Frankie.
I think I can. You see, everything I touch must either live or die. In your case, it's too late for the former. So die you must.
Corporal!
Get back, Miss Matson. This guy's nuts.
Looks like I'll have to add another.
Oh, Corporal, you all right?
Just got me on the shoulder. All right, Mac, try this.
Hang on to his gun arm, Kate. I'll try to get him with this lamp.
Never mind that. He's going to drop that gun right now.
Quick, Corporal, down the hall.
You better hold it, Sharp. I'm warning you.
Okay, you ask for it.
F. Sharp was quite flat there at the bottom of the stairs. N. Sharp, being flat, was a natural. He looked awfully good that way. All I can say is I am terribly grateful for Fordord's highly efficient MP. Case had ducked out to get the police, but halfway down the stairs he heard Sharp's voice in my room. He tiptoed back and listened just long enough outside my door. Just as Frankie had leveled his pistol at my head, Case broke through and wrestled the gun out of Sharp's hand. Oh, the rest of the facts? Well, I've got the dissa and data right here. Frankie Sharp was a wise boy. He was dishonorably discharged from the Army in 1946. He came to the Monterey area with a complete load of Army uniforms, fatigues, and general equipment. He set up a little ring of other ex-GIs with bad records, all dishonorably discharged also, all professional gamblers. On Army paydays, he'd rig his mob out with GI uniforms. Then they'd gang up on the boys from the camp and take them for all their dough with marked cards and loaded dice. The gang was familiar with Army routine, so it was easy for them to make like real soldiers. But Frankie Sharp was keeping too much of the loot for himself, so he decided to set up a new gang. One by one, he had his boys marked for sudden and violent death. The first was the guy I pulled off the tracks. Sharp and the fake sergeant who slugged me were parked up on the highway watching to see the Del Monte Special put on the finishing touches. When the gag misfired, they followed me, found out where Rembrandt was staying, slipped him one of their business cards as a warning for me to stay out. But the fake sergeant turned chicken. He didn't want those F-sharp notes all over the area. So he came out to the NCO club, bopped me over the head, and got them back. When he returned, Frankie knew the fat was in the fire and that the time to strike was then. So he took his pal down to the beach, gave him a finger wave and a permanence, the kind you don't wake up from. Then he went back to my cottage to wait for me. Sharp was his own undoing. The poor guy was a megalomaniac and insisted on signing his works of art. His greatest masterpiece, though, was one he autographed. It was called Picture of a Corpse at the Bottom of a Stairway. Because when we went down to look at his body, he still had his own F-sharp card clutched in his rigid fingers. Corporal Case? Good boy. He's been studying criminology with the United States Armed Forces Institute. He was discharged about a month later, and because of his considerable amount of gray matter, was promised the first opening with the Monterey Sheriff's Office. Oh, me, it's beautiful around Monterey and Carmel. The soft ocean, the gently rising knolls, especially the one on my head. That's the last time I'm going to be queen of a ball.
Listen again next week at this same time. For excitement and adventure, just dial...
Candy Matson, Yukon 28209.
Candy Matson, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from October 8, 1950. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, an episode of The Adventures of Ellery Queen, first heard on CBS, will be hearing the Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast of a show that would later be repeated again in April of 1948 under a different title called The Slicer. This is The Adventure of Nick the Knife, heard first on August 1, 1945.
Creeps. This is D4Y opening the doors of the Mystery Playhouse. You can come in. We won't hurt you tonight. Not very much, that is. Our tale is concerned with a terror that ravaged a city for many months. It was solved, finally, by your good friend, Ellery Queen, who's here to tell you all about it.
Well, tonight's mystery is the grim tale of a crime that terrified a city. I call it The Adventure of Nick the Knife.
Well, I'll say goodnight here, Lou.
Oh, but Gladys, your house is a block away.
Oh, you know, Pa. He gets awful mad when I stay out this late with a fella.
I know, but I don't like you walking the rest of the way alone in this dark neighborhood, Glenn.
Oh, you're sweet. Well, good night, Lou.
Okay. Good night.
Gee, gosh, it is dark tonight. Well, I sure hope Pa ain't waiting up for me. Who's that under the tree? Pa. Pa, is that you?
Beautiful. Here's
where I
shove off. Oh, gee, Jimmy. You get on my right, Kathy? It's pretty foggy in the waterfront tonight.
And you'd care a lot, wouldn't you, if something happened to me?
So talk like.
Hey, there it goes. Come back,
Kathy.
Jimmy, you didn't even kiss.
Oh.
Is that Jimmy? Coming back? Jimmy, is that you? Oh, I'm hearing things. I better be getting back home. What is it? It is somebody. What is?
You'd better stop following me or I'll call a policeman. Help! Help! Ah!
Recovering consciousness.
Oh, dear.
In spite of all our warnings, these girls will keep frequenting lonely spots after dark. And he gets them.
Ellery, couldn't you help find out who he is?
I wish I could, Nicky. Of course, this fiend, the papers have named Nick the Knife as psychotic, probably paranoid, but that's not much help. As for his victims, they have nothing in common except they're all female and attractive. I'm afraid, Dad, the best you can hope for is a lucky break.
Better come soon, son, or I'll be out of a job. Well, I'm going to bed.
Night, Dad.
Night, Inspector. Night. Which reminds me, I'm tired. Would you hand me my hat, Ellery?
Just where do you think you're going?
Going? Home.
After midnight, alone, Nicky?
Oh, Ellery, that's ridiculous.
Is it? Come on, I'll see you home.
First time we've been out together since you took me home last week.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to make it a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this new park is beautiful. Ellery. Ellery!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, never mind. When you're thinking up a new mystery plot, a girl may as well be playing solitaire. What's that over there?
There, yeah, that's the entrance to the maze.
Entrance to the what?
The maze. M-A-Z-E. Theseus killing the Minotaur.
Oh, you mean a labyrinth.
Oh, in parks they're called mazes, Nicky. A crazy arrangement of crisscrossing paths that get nowhere. This was enclosed in high wall and has a glass roof over it.
Oh, how silly.
No, it's fun. There's only one exit, that gate there where the policeman is talking to that...
Well, he's talking to Sergeant Feely.
Oh, by George, he is. Sergeant!
Ah! I'll get out of the car. Go ahead. Mike!
Miss Porter.
Hi, Sergeant.
What are you doing here?
Not mine, in your park. How about you?
Nick the knife case. Oh. The inspector figures the opening of a new park will draw a Nick like a fly to a mustard. The place is it's filled with extra detail.
Yeah, it's a good thing, too. Sergeant, who is that handsome young cop you were just jabbering with there at the entrance? Why, he's disappeared.
Yeah, I told him to go inside and have a look around. Nice kid, Endicott. He's just been reinstated in the force. He stopped a Nazi sniper's bullet a couple of weeks before VE Day and got his honorable discharge.
Some hunk of name.
I'm sure if you want to meet Officer Endicott Nicky, Sergeant Zeeley.
A girl screaming.
Nick, the knife. Oh, Nicky, you stay away. Call an ambulance.
Hillary.
Don't argue, Nicky. Do it.
I told her the next one to die.
Give it to me, Zeeley.
Here you are.
I'm going in.
Away from me!
No, Vic Dealey, you stay here. This is the only exit from the maze. Nobody's come out since that girl screamed.
Nick, the knife is trapped inside. We got him. I better whistle for help, too.
If anyone tries to get out, shoot to kill.
Are you kidding?
Another dead end. Blast this maze. Endicott! Officer, where are you? Blow that whistle again so I can...
Stand still or I'll blow a hole through your back. Drop the gun. Drop it. Okay. Now turn around and keep your hands high.
Policeman. I thought... You're Endicott, aren't you? I'm Ellery Queen.
Inspector Queen's son?
Yes. Where's the girl? Have you seen a man? Officer, for heaven's sake, we're wasting time.
The only man I've seen in here is you. How do I know this isn't a trick?
Oh, yeah, reach in my pocket. You'll find my wallet and identification.
Yeah.
Satisfied?
Okay. Sorry. Here's your gun, Mr. Queen. Follow me.
Did you find the girl?
Yeah. Take this turn.
Is she dead?
No, she's bleeding bad, though. Had to apply tourniquets to both her wrists.
Here, through this hedge, Mr. Queen.
There she is.
Pulse is pretty fair. These tourniquets did the trick, officer. Good work.
Thanks.
Unconscious. I wonder who she is.
I can tell you, Mr. Queen. Her name's Jane Stepley.
How do you know?
I recognized her. She lives in the boarding house where I room. I've passed her in the hall lots of times. Not much to look at, huh?
Well, Nick's change is pattern, all right. A daylight attack and a homely girl.
I'd better take a look around.
All right, but watch yourself, Endicott.
Watch yourself.
Jane Stickley. What he did to your face. Oh, ambulance. Billy, that you?
Marshal, where are you?
Follow my voice, Billy.
Say some more, son.
Dad, how did you get here so quickly? Right here. Oh, Nicky.
The inspector was cruising in a squad car right in the park with... Oh.
Stay back, Nicky. Ambulance man.
Yeah.
Hey, you better get it to the hospital, fast.
Her name is Jane Stepley, Dad.
I can wait. Where's the officer who was here?
Endicott, searching the maze. Sergeant, did you have any luck at the entrance?
Just one guy, Marshal, trying to get out. Who do you think it is?
All right, ambulance man. We'll see you at the hospital. You men, bring Snow Summers over here.
Snow Summers, the hophead, Dad?
Dies in, doesn't it, son?
What a ratty little man. And look at his eyes, Hillary. Just pinpoint.
Effects of the drug he takes, Nicky. Snow Summers.
Oh, let me go. You got me wrong. I need the knife to go with
him. Summers are after the eyeballs. What did you do with the knife?
Knife? Not a cape and a strap on me. Let me go, will you? Let me go. Let me go.
Dad, I just found it under that shrub, tossed away.
Ooh, what a wicked-looking thing.
It's your knife, Snow, isn't it?
No. I didn't cut nobody.
Why waste time, Inspector? He's a hop. He was the only one in the maze, so he's nicked the knife.
Oh, now, listen. I come here to pick up some pennies, yeah? I won't lie to you, I'm a dip, see? Okay, well, a dip, but I ain't no dame cutter. I ain't some Dow Saunders. I think I better faint, see? This cop's
talking. Bring him downtown, he'll talk there.
Let it go, boys, let it go.
Look.
Officer Endicott with another prisoner. Oh, but Ellery, that little man can't be Nick tonight. He's so jolly looking.
Yes.
Who's this now, officer?
Inspector, I found this one here in the maze. Roosting up in a tree.
A tree? Hiding, huh? What's your name?
Hodges. Joyce K. Hodges?
Ellery.
The K is for Kennicott, but I changed to K for Kilmer. Joyce Kilmer Hodges, you see, I love trees.
You love trees?
Yes, trees are so green, you know.
Trees are so green.
Yes.
Joyce K. Hodges. Ellery, that case in the papers 2 years ago.
Yes, that's Dad. Recall this man's wife left him for another man, particularly nasty mess. Hodges tried to kill her.
With a knife. Now look at him.
Yes, Mr. Hodges.
Yes?
Ever been in a big sort of hospital, Mr. Hodges?
Oh, that, I'm perfectly well now, you know.
I see. Do you, recall your wife, Mr. Hodges?
Gloria. Oh, yes, indeed.
She was, young, I suppose. Pretty?
Very young. Very pretty. Parks, parks. How I love parks and trees. Isn't that tree green?
What tree? Hillary, he's looking at me.
Take him away. Come on, little acorn.
Bastard. Count can not only be Snow Summers the Hophead, but Mr. Joyce Kilmer Trees Hodges.
Inspector.
What, baby?
Now, take it easy, Inspector.
Take what easy, baby?
The boy just found another one.
Another one? Sure there aren't any more.
Oh, no, he's the last. One of the boys found him laying under a bush sleeping.
Sleeping? Bring him here.
Okay, come on, bring him in here.
Is that the man? That tremendous
come
fat
on.
Man? Look at his hand.
He is a brute, isn't he? What's your name?
Adolf Blutner.
Blutner. What do you do for a living, Glutner?
Butcher.
Butcher?
Yeah.
You working at your trade, Glutner?
Right. Laid off. Not for months already. No meat.
No meat. Oh. It's too bad. You enjoyed your work, hmm?
Yeah. Sharp knife, cut meat good. But now no meat, no good.
What were you doing in here today, Glutner?
My head hurts. I'm lonesome. I like see people.
Ah, pretty girls, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty girls. Like Fräulein.
Me? Yeah. Ellery.
There you are, Blutner.
Take him away.
All right. Now for him to headquarters. Come on.
Well, Dad, it looks like a job.
Yep. Unless this latest victim can identify one of the three as her assailant. As soon as Jane Stepney can be questioned, we'll take Summers, Hodges, and Blutner down to the hospital and have her pick out Nick the Knife.
Dr. Barrow?
Ellery, you're sure they can't do any harm?
Calling Dr. Barrow.
I don't like them so close to me.
Nicky, each one is handcuffed to a detective.
Here's the doctor.
All right, Inspector.
Fine. Get those marks on their feet, Peavy.
Okay, man. Bring them in. And you three better behave, you understand?
No. No, please. Please don't bring them near me.
Hey, Miss Stepney.
Doctor, somebody, please. No, no,
no.
No,
just calm down, Miss Stepney.
May I?
Yes, go ahead.
Jane. Jane, listen to me. Nobody's going to hurt you anymore. They just want you to look at these three men, that's all.
He cut me. He cut me.
Take it easy, Miss Stepney. We'll have him out of here in no time at all.
Summers, step forward.
Yes, sir.
Into the light near the bed. Now, will you take a good look at this man, Miss Stepney?
Was this the man, Miss Stepney?
I don't know. Take him away, please. Take them all away.
I need a shot. I need one bad.
Step back, Summers. Pickett, bring Hodges over here. Will you look at this one, please?
She isn't a very green tree, is she?
Was it this man, Miss Stepney?
I don't know. I don't know.
Take him aside. Okay. You, Blutner. Thanks, Jim. Watch this guy. I have knife. You do not touch me.
Keep him back. Jane, just this last one. It was this big fat man, wasn't it?
How can I tell who it was when I didn't see who it was? I was walking along in the maze when all of a sudden I was grabbed from behind. Somebody very strong. A man's sweaty hand. I screamed and I struggled and then my face and my wrist. And that knife. My face. They won't let me see my face.
Your face will be all right, Mrs. Stepney. I've spoken to the doctors, and they say you'll be out of here in a week. And then when you're all rested and healed, a little plastic surgery will...
I knew it. I'm disfigured for life. I knew it.
We're finished anyway, Doctor. Okay, outside. Finished is right.
Unless the medics can tell us which one of them has nicked the knife.
Or the eminent Mr. Queen can come up with one of his brilliant suggestions.
As a matter of fact, I have one.
What is it, Ellie?
No, Dad. You turn Summers, Hodges, and Blutner over to the psychiatrist first. They don't want to make this suggestion except as a last resort.
Come in, son. You too, Nicky.
What's up, Dad?
Ellery was just going to take me to dinner when we got your call to come to headquarters.
Our doctors are stymied in the Nick the Knife case.
I was afraid of that.
We shipped Summers, Blutner, and Hodges up to the state hospital in Stonewood 10 days ago, and they've been under observation ever since.
We got a lot of fancy reports on it, but nothing that says this guy is Nick the Knife.
So, it's your move, Mr. Queen.
Yeah, what do you have in mind, Maestro?
A trap.
Trap? What kind of trap, son?
Well, it's obvious that Nick the Knife is a normal. He gets murderous impulses. When the impulse seizes him, he's got to use his knife. He can't resist it. What's more, he gets those impulses regularly. All 32 attacks were 1 week apart.
But now it's 2 weeks since his attack on the Stepleader girl. He's overdue. If right now, tonight, he thought he was free and had a knife...
Well, then I'm glad he's not. Oh, you mean...
Yes. We can rig up our trap right at Stonewood State Hospital. Now, let's see. It's 7 o'clock now. A fast car, we can make it in 2 hours, so it'll be dark by the time we get there. Darkness, lonely country, woods all around. It's a perfect setup.
Say, that is an idea, Inspector. We can take up a big squad.
Release Blutness on Mrs. Hodges.
See that there's some knives around they could swipe before we turn them loose.
Have each one tailed by 3 or 4 of our best men. Son, I buy it.
There's only one thing.
You bet. You've got everything for your trap up there but the bait, Mr. Queen. A pretty young girl. Well, why are you looking at me? Oh, no, I should say not. If you have any fantastic idea that I'll...
Now, Nikki, I've got it all figured out. You don't think I'd put you in any real danger, do you?
Now, there's no use talking. I simply refuse to do it.
There won't be any danger for you, Nikki.
You don't have to be scared, Miss Carter.
Scared?
Wait, no.
Silly, Nikki. No.
Sits me here in this glade all alone under a bright moon at midnight with a knife-toting maniac prowling in the woods looking for me. And he expects me to relax.
I'm right here behind this bush, Nicky, so close I can touch you.
Oh, why did I ever let you talk me into it?
Oh, a wolf.
Just a farmer's dog, Nicky. There's a detective on every tree surrounding this glade. All of us are armed. If the knife hasn't a chance to get near you, dear.
I suppose he's given you a written guarantee. Hillary, someone's coming.
I'm right here, Nikki.
Oh, something's gone wrong. You got your gun?
Yes. Keep behind me. Here he comes.
Hi, Strong.
Oh, it's Sergeant Fields.
Hillary, he's dead. Dad, what is it?
Marshal, I just got word.
Nick, the knife struck again.
Again?
Oh, another successful attack. Where, Dad?
Back in New York, in the same park where the Stepley girl got it.
In the city, but how?
How? Who knows how? Come on. Back to headquarters. Peavy. Well? What's the hospital say?
Girl just died, Inspector.
Oh, the poor thing.
This is the cop that found her.
It's Officer Endicott again.
Hello, sir. Inspector Queen, I've made my written report.
I want to hear it, Endicott.
Yes, sir. I was making my usual 1/4 of 10 rounds in the park.
Where in the park?
In the maze, Inspector. I wasn't in there 3 minutes when I heard a girl scream.
From inside the maze, Endicott?
No, Sergeant. Outside, in this case. I ran out and started looking. Screams stopped. It took me a few minutes to locate her. Finally, I found her. Frances Kahlberg of First Avenue, Manhattan. And by that time, she'd bled badly.
No doubt, I suppose. It was Nick the Knife's work, Endicott.
Both wrists slashed and the girl's face all cut up, just like the others. It was Nick the Knife, all right.
What was that time again, officer?
She screamed at 10:50, Inspector. That's it.
What's it, Marshal?
Ellery, don't tell me...
Yes, Nicky. Now I know who Nick the Knife is.
But I don't understand it. None of our three suspects can possibly be Nick the Knife.
Why not, Inspector? Suppose one of them managed to give his trailers a slip tonight and came back to the city.
Impossible, Nicky. Just before we started out for Stonewood State Hospital, Ellery said it was 7 o'clock, that it was a 2-hour drive by fast car. That means the earliest we could have got there was 9 p.m. Even if you figure that we let them go as soon as we got there, at 9 o'clock, what's the earliest one of them could have got back to the city? The same 2 hours fast drive were 11 o'clock. But when was the attack in the city park tonight? At 10:50. Over an hour before any of the three could possibly have gotten there.
Boy, 3 suspects and 3 eliminated.
Wait. Oh, what idiots we've been. There weren't just 3 suspects. There were 4.
4? The only ones we found in the maze after the attack on Jane Stepley were Snow Summers, Trees Hodges, and Butcher Blutner.
Oh, no, Sergeant. There was one other man in the maze. Only you'd never dream of suspecting him. The policeman who supposedly found Jane's unconscious body. Officer Endicott.
Me, miss? Me, Nick the Knife?
Yes. With 3 of the 4 possibilities eliminated, the 4th must be guilty. And that's you. How's my logic, Mr. Queen?
Tell her, Dan.
Endicott can't possibly be Nick the Knife.
Nick the Knife began operations in New York City last Christmas Eve.
And I told you myself, Miss P, that Endicott had just rejoined the force. He'd stopped a Nazi bullet a couple of weeks before VE Day, and that was May 8th. So, he was in the American Army in Germany, at least until the end of April.
So how could Endicott have been making attacks in New York once a week for over 30 weeks, beginning last Christmas Eve?
Oh. Exit Officer Endicott. I'm awfully sorry.
It's quite all right, miss.
Yeah, well, where does that leave us? Four suspects and all four eliminated.
Why do you say there are four suspects, then?
Hmm? Yeah, because there were only four people in the maze during the attack on Jane Stepney.
There were five.
Five?
Who was the fifth, Ellery?
Jane Stepney herself.
Jane Stepney herself? But, Maestro, she was the one attacked with a knife.
And she attacked herself with a knife, Billy. No other possible conclusion. Only five people were in the maze during the attack, and four were eliminated. So the fifth must be Nick the Knife. Yes, even if the fifth was the victim. It's not so strange. This homely woman, brooding over unattractiveness, became psychotic and began hunting and attacking girls who were pretty. Then what happened? Into the boarding house at which she roomed came a new boarder, a policeman. Now, you yourself, Endicott, told me how you'd keep running into her in the house. That's how you recognized her in the maze. To Jane Stepley's disordered mind, the sudden arrival of a policeman to live in her boarding house meant only one thing, that she was being watched. In cunning desperation, she decided to banish the policeman's non-existent suspicion that she was Nick the Knife by staging an attack on herself, on his beat, where he'd be sure to find her bleeding and unconscious. And she very nearly got away with it, poor thing.
The Adventures of Ellery Queen, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 1st, 1945 on CBS and Armed Forces Radio. And that closes this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.